If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would have said five times we would have had a deal. I've spoken to President Putin a lot. I got along with him very well. But five times, and every time, four times maybe, but we've had discussions. You and I have had discussions. Yeah. We thought we had that settled numerous times. And then President Putin goes out and starts launching rockets into some city like Kiev and kills a lot of people in a nursing home or whatever. You have bodies lying all over the street. And I say, that's not the way to do it. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm very disappointed. I'm disappointed in President Putin. Very disappointed in him. So we're going to have to look, and I'm going to reduce that 50 days that I gave him to a lesser number, because I think I already know the answer what's going to happen.
President Trump speaking there in the United Kingdom. Of course, he was doing some business deals while he was there. But of course, the questions about Russia and whether or not they're ever going to agree to stop this war continue to come up, as they should. And we always want to ask our expert friend about that. Jim Carafano joins us once again, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
Thanks. So it is kind of a case study in contrasting negotiating styles. So the Russians are like, if you go to the Russians and say, hey, here's a deal. The Russians go, oh, you want to make a deal? That must mean you need something. So what else can I get? So the first thing when you offer a Russian deal, the first thing they say is, well, what more can I get out of this? And so you saw Putin really playing for time and for really ridiculous demands. Trump is exactly the opposite. Trump walks in and goes, here's a deal. I'm going to give you a good deal, because if I don't give you a decent deal, who would want to make a deal that where they don't get something out of it? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you don't take the deal. You don't say, oh, well, let me give you a better deal. That's not how Trump works. It's like, you don't take the deal, then you live with the consequences of that. So I'm not surprised that the negotiating failed, but I understand it from the president's standpoint, because President Trump is very consistent. He likes to test propositions. When people tell him he can't get something done, his first instinct is, oh, yeah, let me prove that it can't be done. Yeah. Let me just not take somebody's word for it. So I'm not surprised that he tried to get a deal. But I also fully expect him to follow through on making Putin pay terrible consequences for not doing this. But I think the reality is you cannot force Putin to end the war if he doesn't want to. Yeah. Now, he doesn't need a ceasefire to stop fighting. He can have a ceasefire whenever he wants. He just has to stop fighting. So he doesn't really... And I don't think there's enough isolation to prevent him from ever having the capacity of continuing the war. So if he wants to fight this war forever, I honestly think he can. But I got to tell you this, and I've said this on your show, he lost this war a long time ago. He is never going to conquer this country. And the longer he fights, the worse off Russia is going to be.
Is that, in a roundabout way, better for the United States? The deterioration of Russia slowly over time?
I've always thought that you can't build a strategy that is dependent on your enemy doing what you want. So you have to do a strategy that's going to protect your interests regardless of what the enemy does. So I think regardless of Putin ever ends this war or not, the U.S. can protect its interests. And its interests are a more stable Europe. That's what's going to allow us to pivot to Asia and focus more on China. A NATO that can defend itself, and a free and independent Ukraine that can defend itself. I think those things are going to happen regardless of what Vladimir Putin does. And so, yeah, we'd all love the war to end because we all share the president's sentiment that killing innocent people for no purpose serves no purpose. But the reality is the only person that can end that is Putin. And if he doesn't stop that, you know, we have to get on with our lives. And getting on with our lives is going to be protecting our interests.
Mm-hmm. Jim Carafano speaking with us right now, of course, with the Heritage Foundation. There was Donald Trump's first term, and then 2020 happened, and then he came back into office in January of this year, which just seems like a lot longer ago than a little over 6 months. During the campaign, that time in between when Joe Biden was president, we heard some strong words and confidence from President Trump about how he was going to handle this situation when he did get back into office. Do you think that Joe Biden's administration and his policy on this issue made it worse than Donald Trump anticipated?
No. I mean, I think there was always a caveat when Trump said, I can end this war in 24 hours. He didn't really kind of say the asterisk, which is if Putin wants to end this war. If Putin wants to end this war, I can walk in, I can give a deal that neither side's going to love, but actually both sides can live with, and it'll stop the killing. And Putin could have had that deal on day one. The two biggest mistakes Putin ever made was fighting the war to begin with. If he'd stopped, he would have just had everybody traumatized. He could have got whatever he wants. And not taking the deal the first day the president walked into office. So the president could have delivered on a deal if Putin wanted a deal. But I also believe that the president started down this path even before he went into office, knowing that he was going to protect U.S. interests regardless of what Vladimir Putin did. So I'm not surprised that we are where we are. And I do think it is, first of all, I don't think there would have been a war if Biden had been a better president. But I also think that by the time Trump came in, Putin is in so deep in this conflict, I don't think he knows how to extract himself. I think it's fair that maybe the president was not prepared for that. The Vladimir Putin that he felt with for 4 years was not somebody who bet everything on the poker chip table, right? It was a guy who, when Trump was there, when Trump said, don't do that or get out of my way or stop, he did because he. And when Biden was in, he was all in. And so when Trump came back, he came back and was facing a different Putin than he dealt with the first term. I think that's fair.
Jim Carafano speaking with us right now. A shift a little bit in the world to what's happening in and around Israel. France came out with a story. This is the MSNBC headline. France's recognition of Palestine is not a gift to Hamas. And now we have just in the last hour or so got an article from Fox News that says Starmer says United Kingdom to recognize Palestinian state. If Israel doesn't agree to ceasefire, Hamas must disarm. I was just curious of your thoughts on the current status between these two battling entities and the acknowledgement of a Palestinian state.
Well, I definitely think it shows how irrelevant France and the UK are in the Middle East. Who are they recognizing? There is no functioning state. They're recognizing something that doesn't exist. That they might as well say, we believe in Santa Claus. It's about as has about as much meaning.
Jim, I believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is there's not going to be a state that's run by Hamas. Mm-hmm. And for the first thing they're going to do is get rid of Hamas. And by the time there's something that represents a functioning state that we can live with Israel, none of those guys will be in. They might not be alive, let alone still in political power. So I don't know what they think they're doing, but it's kind of a freaking joke.
So, Jim, when it comes to Hamas and their activity, their violence in Gaza. I mean, we have the Iran situation as well with President Trump ordering those strikes against their nuclear facilities. My understanding is that Hamas kind of needs Iran and their support in order to function to their fullest extent. Is that still the case?
I think that's true, and I think it's very likely that if Iran gets out of line, the U.S. and Israel will go back and strike Iran again. We might not have seen the last strike on Iran or the last strike on the Houthis. I think the way this movie ends is there is no Hamas left in Gaza. I'm not even sure there's anybody left to negotiate with, to be honest with you. Mm. I think that the Israelis and the Americans will have to get probably much more forceful and aggressive in both taking control of the situation on the ground so they can deliver aid, but also in going after and trying to find their hostages. Because I don't see any of this ending in the negotiating process that saves any role for Hamas in the future of Gaza. I just don't see how that happens. And I think all these France and these other countries, but first of all, they have no stake in this. They don't have any troops there. They have any interest there. They don't have any capacity, any capability there. What do they bring? Nothing. They're bystanders. They're freaking sitting in the stands in the last row, and they're telling the quarterback how to call plays on the field. That doesn't work.
We're speaking with Jim Carafano here. Last question, kind of a 30,000 get into the mind of Jim Carafano question for you here. Since Donald Trump has been in office for 6 months, he hasn't solved all of these conflicts, but he has taken some serious actions to get to the place where we have a more peaceful world. Has he made huge strides, or is it too early to determine if the Trump doctrine on all of these different conflicts is going to result in safer areas, or peace might even be too big of a stretch?
Well, look, I think, and again, not a Republican, not a Democrat, don't have a dog in a fight. I think it's just objectively speaking, it's the best actioning of foreign policy that we've seen since Ronald Reagan, without peer. I mean, he is both looking after America's interests. He's doing it in a way that's not risk averse, but it's also prudent. He's respecting American power and American lives. And he is, where he can, without putting America's interests at risk, exercising the humanitarian impulses to stop wars, stop suffering, have better friends and neighbors and more prosperity where he can. It literally is. I can't imagine anybody doing better. Now, anybody can have a perfect foreign policy in their head, but having one in the real world, dealing with real world problems, I really find it hard to think that you could manage a better course to the world in which we live than what he's doing. And every step has actually been forward. It's not like, well, things are bad, maybe they'll get better tomorrow. I think we've made progress since day one. And I think it's quite extraordinary. And again, I say that not as a Republican or just as somebody who's trying to actually be objective about observing, a lot of precedents over a lot of years.
Last question before we go. Is there a threat that isn't being talked about right now that you pay a lot of attention to, but it doesn't get the headlines like the Russia-Ukraine thing or the Middle East?
Well, actually what's interesting is the threat of global terrorism and what we're not paying attention to is actually how effective these guys are. I mean, they've probably taken out 200 terrorists in the last 6 months. I mean, significant, serious people.
The Trump administration?
And nobody's paying attention to it. The Trump administration.
Hmm. Well,
so, yeah.
We appreciate
He's not solving all the problems, but he is paying attention to the entire world. So he is not, one thing we know for sure, Donald Trump, not an isolationist.
Jim Carafano, we're grateful for you. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks, guys.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take care. Bye-bye. We are only 6 months in, and I think the biggest contrast here, it's hard not to see it this way, I think, whether you agree with what President Trump is doing or not. But what a difference it makes for a president who's got his hands firmly at 10 and 2 on the wheel and is making educated decisions, listening to the experts he surrounded himself with to take decisive action. I feel like the entire Biden administration was a political poll that they would only react to for long enough to take the next poll that they would then react to. Scary foreign policy.
And that's what politics had become, really, until Trump. I'm not saying George W. Bush was exactly that, but the vast majority of politics had become, well, let's sort of lick our fingers, stick it in the air, and we'll just sort of respond whichever the way the wind's blowing.
Okay, I know people are going to be like, oh, Annie, stop it. But I feel like George W. Bush was principled and had, if he was swayed one way or the other, I feel like his starting point was of one of principle. And then maybe politics or whatever. I don't know. I was too young. I wasn't following it the way I follow things right now. But gosh, I know a lot of people have a lot of varying thoughts on George W. Bush. I still like him. But it's like, what is the integrity that you bring to the office? Because that's the starting point. And then anybody who has a shred of wisdom in their person is going to listen to people who are very well-educated on, you can't be, you know, fully educated on everything you have to do as a president. What you need to do as a president is have the wisdom to surround yourself with the smartest people you possibly can that will likely disagree with regularity with the other smartest people in the room so that you can hear all the possible educated thoughts on which way to go. And then you need to have the wisdom and the love for the country in your heart to make the best decision based on the information you've been provided by the smartest people in the room. And Joe Biden wasn't even in the room.
What you're saying about George W. Bush is right. That is the way he is. But that's a lot of politicians. Here's the thing. We thought as a country until 2016 that that was kind of the best version of a politician that we might get. And then President Bulldozer came in and said, I don't give a rip about anything, and remade the game.
Well, and I have said this many times back in 2016 when I was doing a Saturday show and that race was going on. But the Republicans, it's different now because Donald Trump was the wrecking ball to the whole game, which is why the Democrats are in shambles, because they don't know what to do. Republicans were always campaigning against the version, the caricature of what a Republican was that the Democrats determined. It wasn't like, here's who we are, this is what we stand for. It's like this holier-than-thou, rich, wealthy person who wants more wealth and riches for themselves and more power for themselves and doesn't want the government to step on their opportunity because they've already made it to the top. White people. I mean, that's Christian, Bible-thumping Christian, where they, you know, I hear this all the time. It drives me absolutely crazy, but like, Christians think they're so much better than you. Well, if you're around someone who's using their Christianity to explain to you how much better than you they are, that's not Christian. That's actually anti-Christian.
That's prideful.
It's like, I mean, a deadly sin.
Yeah.
that's not Christian faith. And I don't want you to besmirch Christians or, way down the list, Republicans, because of those jerks. Like, that's not how it's supposed to function and work. We can talk more about this around the other side of this break. Our YouTube poll is, would you support a pardon or clemency for Ghislaine Maxwell?
I think you got it.
For full exposure of Epstein details. Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.